morning and welcome to each one of you. For thousands of years, cultures throughout the world have looked at the constancy of nature and from that have deduced that time is constant, that time is unchanging. However, over a time of several hundred years after monumental scientific discoveries, a young German scientist came on the scene in the early 1900s named Albert Einstein. And he developed a theory of relativity. And part of this theory was that our perception of time is inaccurate. And instead of time being constant and unchanging, rather the speed of light is unchanging. And it is by that constant that we in turn measure time. So what this measures out to is that for us, we are limited to our own frame of reference. And so we perceive time based on that frame of reference. But if we were in a spacecraft and we were traveling close to the speed of light, which is impossible, but for the sake of argument, let's say we could, time would move much more slowly as kept by a clock than it would here for us poor earthbound creatures. And so we can tip our hats to the scientists and say, okay, that's interesting. But for all practical purposes, we live in this limited frame of reference, and it really doesn't affect us to any great extent. If you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll be looking at the first part of the chapter where Peter is trying to get his audience to understand that God views time differently than we mortal humans do. I will be reading the first 9 verses and focusing especially on verses 3 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So first, Peter starts out by warning his audience that in the last days there will be scoffers who will come, and they will walk according to their own desires, he says. They will follow their own fleshly desires. And specifically, they will claim that nothing that we can see indicates that God will keep his promise regarding the second coming of his son, Jesus Christ. But Peter has this gut reaction, and he says they are wrong. And the reason they are wrong is because they view time from a limited perspective. And in fact, they view all of reality from a limited perspective. We could say that their frame of reference is limited. And also, they have given themselves over to unbelief. They have willfully overlooked the fact that of God's past actions in history. And Peter mentions two things specifically, two past actions of God. First, God's creative power, and second, his destruction of the unrighteous in the flood. As unbelief often does, it manifests itself in an unwillingness to acknowledge God's past actions, his past providence, his past working in our lives. And Peter adds that because of this unbelief and their unwillingness to acknowledge God's actions in the past, they are also completely unaware of a coming judgment. And it is not with water this time, but with fire. In verse 8, Peter changes his tone. He changes the direction of his argument. He addresses specifically his Christian audience. Before, he was talking to them about what is coming, about these scoffers. Now he addresses them directly. He says, "But, beloved, do not forget this one thing." So here Peter says, what I'm going to say next is incredibly important. If you're going to come along with me in the rest of my argument, you have to get this next point. So what is this point? Well, Peter goes on to say that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Peter says, we must agree on this one point, that God's perception of time and his perception of all of reality is not limited as is ours. He is not limited to one single frame of reference. He is not limited to the normal bounds of time. But of course, as we know, he can enter time, as he most explicitly demonstrated through the advent of his son, Jesus Christ. But he is not limited to that. He is not limited to time. Isaiah 57:15, where God addresses himself, he says, he calls himself the High and Holy One, the one who inhabits eternity. Now, some translations say the one who lives forever, but regardless of how we translate that, the idea is the same, that God operates outside of time, and he can enter time, but he is not limited to that. However, unfortunately, we are limited to a single frame of reference, and though that is not wrong, it's part of being human, we must acknowledge that. However, like Job, it is easy for us to assume our perspective is less limited than it actually is. And when we fall into that trap, at least one of the things we do is we fudge the creator-creature distinction. We forget that God is almighty and that we are his creatures. So after establishing that God is eternal and views time and all of reality from a completely different perspective than we do, Peter goes on to, I think, make a logical statement that because of that, we can trust God. We can trust the promise of Christ's second coming. Peter says he is not slow in keeping his promise. And he adds, though some think he is slow, they are wrong because they have a limited perspective. They are operating under that perspective. And though not an explicit part of Peter's argument, I think it is certainly a logical inference to say that if we can trust God in the big things, we can also trust him in the smaller things in our everyday lives. And we certainly see that in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, where he says to his followers, if my Father cares for something as insignificant as a single sparrow, can you not trust him with the rest of your lives? I think we all want to trust God. We want to acknowledge our weaknesses, and yet it's difficult to do. Our tendency is to foist our limitations, our weaknesses on God, and to view him through that perspective. But I would challenge myself, I would challenge all of you this morning as we come together to worship, that let's look at God, let's look at ourselves, let's acknowledge our weaknesses, our limitations, and not hit ourselves over the head for that, but acknowledge them and do our best to view God, to not foist our limitations on God, and to view him from that perspective. Peter trusted God. He trusted him with all his heart. And in fact, if we can trust Christian tradition, he sealed that trust with his own blood under Neronian persecution in the mid-60s. Brothers and sisters, my question to you this morning is, do you trust God? Are you willing to look at him, to not foist your weaknesses and your limitations on him? Let's kneel before God in prayer.
Father, we come before you. We acknowledge that we are weak and that we are prone to error. And we ask your forgiveness for the times that we have missed this, when we have not perceived our own weaknesses and when we have attributed the same weaknesses to you. Thank you that you are God Almighty, that you are above and outside of time, and that your perspective is unlimited, and that because of that we can trust you with all of our being, with past, present, and future. We give this morning to you, asking you to work in and through us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.